Joining us is Robert Ranstandler, who is Delta County Airport Manager. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Craig. Thank you for having me.
You've had the position now since October?
Yes, that's correct. October 10th.
All right. So why did you want this job?
Well, that's kind of a long story, though. I guess I'll try to make it as brief as possible. But my family and I moved here just about 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years this coming summer. And I was actually teaching school from home when it came to my attention that the airport was in a state of distress or there were some issues going on at the airport. It was last August, I believe, if I remember correctly. But so I was teaching school from home. I'm a high school social studies teacher. I have prior experience in the Marines and the military and in aviation, but I never had any aspirations of returning to aviation. But my wife had mentioned in passing one day back in August that the airport was in trouble and the potential of closing down. And my family and I have recently moved here. You know, we want to put roots down here. We love being in the community, Delta County. We love being in the UP. I felt, you know, that having the airport closed obviously would have been a horrible thing for the community. So I started looking into it, and I was reading some news articles and just kind of Googling things. And I discovered that back in June of last year, there was an emergency airport board meeting. And I believe at the time it was Commissioner Stephen View who came out of that meeting, and he had said that there was some concern that they held the emergency meeting because there was some concern that the airport was possibly going to shut down because they were without a licensed manager. And then I read some other articles, and I just kind of realized that, you know, at this point it was August, that they didn't have a manager, and they were still searching for one. So I thought that maybe I would just kind of throw my hat in the ring and see if I could help out. So I filled out a cover letter in the application, and here we are.
Where are you from that you moved here?
Originally, I'm from a little town downstate called Romeo. That's about an hour northeast of Detroit.
Why the UP?
For my wife's work, actually. She is she's a chiropractor, and she has been trying to get a job in a particular position for a very long time, and it just so happens that that career opportunity opened up here. So most recently, we lived in Houston, and we made the move here in the summer of 22.
And did she know what she was getting into?
Well,
you're from Michigan, at least.
Yeah. They had asked me. My family asked me, well, you know, what do you think of the UP? What are your experiences with it? And we did visit briefly together back in 2016. I have an uncle that lives in Traverse City, but we came up during the summer, and we went to Mackinac Island. And I had visited the UP as a kid several times, you know, camping, things of that nature. And I told her, I said, you know, it's a beautiful location. I mean, it's a beautiful outdoors environment, wonderful things to do. The falls are fantastic. The people are great. But if you want to live in the UP, you have to be prepared for some pretty tough winters.
Except this winter.
Yeah, except this winter. And that was, we were actually really surprised and pleased to find out that, you know, it's Escanaba and Delta County. It's kind of considered the banana belt of the UP, so to speak. So it's we've had the good fortune of having a couple mild winters. But everyone's adjusting really well. Wife and kids, they love it up here.
What did you do in the military?
So I started out, I enlisted in the Marines in 1995 out of Daytona Beach, Florida, because that's where we were living at the time. And my first job was an aviation maintenance mechanic. I worked on helicopters. I worked in structural mechanics and hydraulics. And then over the course of that first enlistment, 5 years or so, I just gained a more thorough expertise and knowledge of the aircraft. And I ran a variety of programs that were intrinsic to Naval and Marine Corps Aviation, programs like safety programs and radiation safety programs and environmental programs, things of that nature. And then at about 2001, I decided to reenlist and turn it into more of a career. And as I progressed through the Marines, I just, you know, obtained positions, earned positions of greater responsibility and authority. And I did that both at home and abroad. And I spent time as a quality assurance supervisor, a maintenance inspector, a work center supervisor, eventually division chief. I spent time as a presidential support specialist with Marine Helicopter Squadron 1 out of Washington, D.C.
Really?
It was pretty exciting. It gives you some insight into how things work in the Beltway.
We just lost someone from our community who used to be a part of that years and years ago.
Yeah, it's always unfortunate when we lose, I guess we'll say alumni or veterans of that organization or any organization for that matter, but there are some of us out there, yeah. It's a very small organization. It's interesting because helicopter community within the Marine Corps is very small and aviation within the Marine Corps is small and the Marine Corps itself is a small service. So whenever we whenever I happen to run into, I always enjoy hanging out with veterans and speaking with them, but if I ever happen to run into fellow Marines that are in helicopters, it's always special. But anyway, so when I retired, by the time I retired in 2015, the position I was in, the technical name for it was Aviation Maintenance and Material Control Chief. Essentially, I was a maintenance manager. I was in charge of 12 to 14 aircraft, valued combined, I would say a few $100 million together. About, depending on where I was and what I was doing at the time, anywhere between 120 to 200 Marines. And my responsibilities included basically, handling all the scheduled maintenance on those aircraft, speaking to external agencies, third-party vendors, engineers, working with different regulatory bodies and agencies, the federal government, state governments, local governments, a lot of moving parts, wearing a lot of hats, doing a lot of multitasking on a regular basis.
How do you feel that experience then led to this position?
Well, the skills I accumulated and the experience I accumulated while in that position, highly transferable is the way I would define them, because just the ability to organize and multitask, very important. The ability to administer and stand inspections, it helped me incredibly through the recent bout of issues that we had. The general familiarity, of course, with aviation, because I spent a lot of time, I got my start working on airfields and flight lines and repairing aircraft and learning how airfields work and operate. And then, of course, the time I spent working for the White House, we traveled around the country, stopping at a lot of smaller airports, regional airports, and working with the people who manage those airports, which gave me some insight into that as well. So it was kind of ended up being a very good fit, so to speak.
Not talking about the issues that we're going to talk about here today, but when you look at the Delta County Airport, what do you think of it?
The word that immediately comes to my mind, I think, would be potential. I think there's a great infrastructure there. I think the employees there are fantastic. I will say that the people that work there, and I'm not just referring to the people who I supervise necessarily that work for the county. I mean, that is a tremendous group of people. Our operations staff and assistant manager Morrison and the county staff to help out. But even beyond that, we have our Delta Sky West team that handles all the ground handling for the commercial flights that come through. We have our TSA complement, our agents there that provide all the security. We have local law enforcement that come through from the sheriff's office to help out. And we even have the enterprise rental car team. All those people I bumped into, incredibly supportive, very dedicated to what they do. They're very dedicated to their jobs. They take them very seriously, and they take a lot of pride in what they do. And I haven't seen that level of pride in service probably since my time spent in uniform. So it's pretty impressive.
You took the job then knowing that there were going to be issues you'd have to deal with.
Yes, that was made clear to me during my job interview that, the former manager, unfortunately, had left under less than desirable conditions, that I was not going to have the benefit of doing a face-to-face turnover or having any sort of formal training, so to speak. So those were challenges and obstacles that I knew I was going to have to overcome.
Did you try reaching out to her?
I did not try reaching out to her initially. Because in my mind, based upon, I also read her statements when she had left and, the statements that she made to the county board. And based upon her statements and the way she, the manner in which she left, and also the secondhand accounts that I received from some of her former coworkers and colleagues, it was pretty apparent and clear to me that she really wanted nothing more to do with the county and the airport. So I never reached out to her.
She said, though, that she would be willing to do it.
Yes, she did later in a meeting. She, when she did appear at an airport advisory board meeting, she did say that she had offered to some of the employees and staff and the board members prior to my arrival that she would have been willing to do it. I did reach out to her recently via email about a separate issue, seeking her side of the story in a particular issue, her advice, to see if she could provide any insight. And she unfortunately made it clear to me that she didn't want to be a part of it unless she was compensated for her time. So we ended that there.
Okay. Yeah. You took the position then and you started looking around. Did you know before you took it what the issues were going to be?
Not specifically, no.
Okay, so you started looking around, then what?
Well, I had a faint understanding that I knew we were going to have some issues because, again, going back to the article back from June of last year, I believe it was, that I read, I remember Commissioner View had come out of the meeting and he had said that the manager was overwhelmed. She left under, you know, the resignation was short notice, and that there was some concern that the Michigan Department of Transportation was possibly going to shut down the airport because they didn't have a licensed manager.
Did you find that to be true? There's been some conflicting reports on that. Dave Moyle and Bob Peterson both have said that it was in danger of being shut down.
Yeah, well, the state of Michigan, Michigan Department of Transportation, has two fundamental requirements for an airport to operate. One is that there's a standing permanent monument on the airfield, so there's a point of bearing and reference for your runways and things of that nature. And the other is you have to have a licensed airport manager. Now, fortunately, what happened is in between me applying for the position and me getting hired for the position, assistant manager Robin Morrison, before her and I ever met, she stepped up and she studied for the exam, and she took and passed that test on pretty short notice, which I think was a tremendous accomplishment because she came into that position not having any aviation-related experience whatsoever. So she really did a great job and quite literally, I think, you know, saved the airport from possibly being from the license possibly being revoked by the state because of a lack of a licensed manager.
So that has to be continuous? There can't be a gap for change of administration?
Right. I don't know the specific guidelines or requirements. I believe it is 90 days until you have to have another manager. And that was the 90-day window that I routinely heard there or read that they were referring to. But once the manager's in place and once you have that licensed manager in place, there's no it's an annual renewal that occurs, but it more or less occurs automatically, provided that you're reporting to the state on a regular basis and the contacts are all up to date.
Then right out of the chute, you had to try and meet those FAA requirements that had been on, I guess, neglected for a few months?
Well, it's two separate issues. So the licensing requirement is a state issue for the Michigan Department of Transportation.
Okay.
So right out the gate, I had to immediately obtain two qualifications, which as a manager, I had to get my state license to operate the airport. So I sat down, I took the same test that the assistant manager had taken. And then there's
How'd
also
that go?
Pardon me?
How'd that go?
Oh, it went well. A lot of it was very familiar to me because the terms are somewhat interchangeable or universal when it comes to the aviation aspect of it. I also took college courses. There was one point in time in my past when I had aspirations of working in civil aviation. So that helped as well because I completed like 30 or 40 hours towards an aviation business management degree. So that helped too. But the test wasn't very difficult to navigate for me. The second test I had to take was a test required by the Transportation Security Agency, which is every airport needs a security coordinator, and I'm the primary security coordinator for that. So within the first 30 days, I took both those exams and got those qualifications. The FAA component of it is the federal issue, and that's what we would refer to as the Part 139 compliance issue, and that refers to the federal regulation that governs and guides the type airport that our airport is, Delta County Airport, the size and configuration of it. And I was very shocked on my first day because I had not had an opportunity to really explore and view the premises prior to being hired. I just did the interview in the administration office. But when I walked into the airport manager's office, it was in a pretty large state of disarray, we'll say. A lot of half-done tasks. It was pretty evident that there was a lot of files that were intermingled with each other, kind of strewn across the office. There was some files buried in the bottom of cabinets. And it was just, there were a lot of indications to me that whoever was working in there beforehand was maybe in over their head or very overwhelmed with what they were trying to accomplish.
So you had to then find out what was missing as far as the FAA was concerned about what they had to file online.
So the FAA, there is a procedure that they follow for inspecting and notifying airports if they have an issue where they're out of compliance.
Which was in June, by the way. This is October.
Yes. Yeah, so by this point in time, the FAA inspector had already performed the inspection, had walked away with very unfavorable results. The way the inspection is supposed to function, at least since it has since 2020, is it has two components. It has an electronic, internet-based component, and then it has a face-to-face component. The electronic component is called the e-docs or e-document component. And at that point, what the airport manager is supposed to do, also referred to as the certificate holder, is the airport manager who is supposed to be administering and monitoring all the paperwork, all the training, all the maintenance requirements that are recurring throughout the year, it's the airport manager's responsibility to consolidate and compile all these carefully documented records and files and electronically upload them to a server with the FAA.
Once a year?
Once a year, annually, yes. And that allows the FAA inspector to then review those documents and scrutinize them to see if there's any documentation or record-keeping issues. In theory, that should be a pretty painless process, because if the airport manager is doing what he or she should, that, that training's occurring throughout the year, and you just upload the files on a regular basis, and then prior to your inspection, you just verify everything's there. And what that does is it frees up the inspector, so when the inspector physically shows up for the face-to-face inspection, that inspector can then look at the material condition of the airport, the condition of the movement areas, the runways, the taxiways, and just get a general feel for what's going on. And it makes the entire process a lot more streamlined than it's been in the past.
Was there a face-to-face?
There was a face-to-face inspection before I arrived.
When was that?
That occurred back in June.
So it was in June as well?
Yeah. And unfortunately what happened is the FAA inspector had never received any of the records or documents or files that he was supposed to have received as part of the inspection. And to my knowledge, he was never notified by the prior manager that he wasn't going to receive them. He was under the impression that he should have received all the files. In between that point in time and then his physical face-to-face inspection, which was late June, early July, the former airport manager, Ms. Newman, had put in her notice and walked out and quit. Her last day was the current assistant manager's first day.
Right.
So the inspector then showed up a week later to perform the face-to-face inspection, already understandably irritated because he hadn't received any of the records or files that he was supposed to have received. And he said, well, I'm here. I need to see these records and files. Well, at that time, it was County Administrator Young and Assistant Manager Morrison. County Administrator Young was filling in as the interim manager. They tried their best to recover the files and the documents that the inspector was looking for. And that's a very difficult task, because on the one hand, they had no aviation management related experience. On the other hand, they didn't have any experience in that particular airport. There's a common saying in the airport business, and I learned this very quickly from a lot of my peers and mentors in the local area, and it says, you know, if you've been to one airport, you've been to one airport. That's because every airport, although there's a guiding set of regulations, every airport is unique upon itself. So if you don't have the benefit of knowing where the files are or how the programs and processes work at that particular airport, it's very difficult to produce the necessary documentation. So the airport did very poorly on the inspection, because none of the documents that were the physical evidence that the FAA requires that things are being done in accordance with the regulations, no one could produce those documents. So that in itself was very irregular and very significant.
If you couldn't find these documents, how did you recreate them?
So the documents, most of them are, the point of the documents is to document training of personnel in various areas that they're required to follow throughout the course of the year. And this varies from everything from, wildlife prevention hazard training to hazardous material training to firefighter training. The list is long and it's extensive. But there's about 24 to 30 different occasions where we have to provide these training to our personnel. And because none of the documents could be found or produced, well, I take that back. There were a minority of documents that could be found, and those were documents that were generated as a result of external training. Because there are some regional training exercises that our firefighting personnel attended that were hosted by other nearby airports. And those are really big events that we pay for, that we send people to for very specific training. But the bulk and majority of the training occurs at the airport under the supervision of the airport manager or the training officer, which in the case of our airport is a person that's one and the same. None of those documents were ever found or recovered. I know Assistant Manager Morrison and Interim Manager Young looked extensively through electronic and paper files for a very long time. I spent 2 to 3 weeks when I first arrived on top of what they had done trying to find the files, and we still couldn't find them. But to answer your question, to go to the point, how do we document those? Well, I had a conversation with the FAA inspector my first week on the job, and he wanted to provide me, we were already past the deadline for having things turned in, but he understood I was new and I had good intentions and I was trying to clean things up and trying to help out, so he gave me a small extension to try to find these records. At the end of 2 weeks, I couldn't locate those records, and he said, well, look, we're going to have to draw the line somewhere. If we can't find the records, they've been searching for months, you've been searching for weeks, you're just going to have to go back and retrain your personnel for all the training that was missing throughout the year. And that's what I've been doing over the past 100 days or so, is creating curriculum, following curriculum, delivering training, documenting the training, going back and correcting some documentation that Administrator Young and Assistant Manager Morrison, through no fault of theirs, because they lacked the experience. They just didn't have the experience for it. But they had tried to deliver that training as well, but it has to be done, it has to be documented in a very specific way. And I had to learn that process as well. So I had to go back and redocument some of the things that they had done before I arrived. But all the training and all the corrective actions that we took were a result of the fact that we could not find any evidence of that massive amount of internal training that was required having been done at the airport.
You called all of this an administrative crisis. Was that your term?
Yes, that was my term. And I selected it very carefully because I felt that it accurately conveyed what was going on at the airport. There currently is not, nor has there ever been, any security or safety threat to the traveling public. It was simply an administrative issue. Now, obviously, if administrative issues go unattended long enough or uncorrected long enough, that could lead to problems down the road. Fortunately, when I had arrived, we hadn't gotten to that point yet, but it had just been localized to the administrative issues. But yes, administratively, the airport was in pretty bad shape.
Do you still feel that it was under administrative crisis, or would you have chosen a different term?
No, I feel administrative crisis is accurate. And I formed that opinion, again, based upon the reports that I had read what was going on prior to even applying to the position. I believe the reports I read, I don't think anyone ever used the word crisis, any of the board members or any of the people that were interviewed. But they did use, threat of closure. Emergency, and in my mind, those are synonyms, crisis, emergency, same. So yeah, I would stand behind that phrase.
You gave the report to the county board. Was that your idea?
No. Well, writing the report was my idea. One of the first things I did when I got into the position was I spent some time getting to know the employees and speaking with them and trying to figure out the steps that the prior manager may have taken or maybe mistook or maybe missed. I spent a lot of time reaching out to the FAA inspectors, to different agencies, the TSA. I spent time reaching out to other regional airport managers to try to, draw upon their experience in trying to solve the problem, asking them that if what I was doing was the correct course of action. And all of them were very, very helpful. So the report was my idea. However, I wrote that report. I crafted the report primarily for the Airport Advisory Board. It is something that I put together after my first 30 days on the job. I did it in anticipation of our first Airport Advisory Board meeting so I could give a full and complete picture on what I consider the state of the airport. And I wrote that report based upon my observations, but I went through the trouble of validating those observations by speaking and conducting interviews with different airport employees and companies and organizations that had interacted with the airport, speaking to the FAA inspector. And that report was not just limited to the compliance issues. That report also covered a wide array of just different problems and challenges that the airport faced. So it was designed to be my initial management report to the Airport Advisory Board to provide my initial assessment of the challenges and the problems the airport was facing, and also to give recommendations on what direction we needed to go in.
Were you surprised at the reaction?
Yes. A lot of the issues that I brought to the attention of the Airport Advisory Board, My impression, based upon their reactions, was that the majority of the things that I was offering in the report, to an extent, were some of the first time that they had heard of those issues, or at least heard them phrased in that manner or classified in that manner.
And then the community's reaction.
Yeah, so then taking that report and delivering my findings to the County Board of Commissioners in front of the public, I will say I've had unfortunate responsibilities of delivering bad news in bad situations in the past and, basically telling people how things are and having to correct issues. But being so new to the community, being new to the position, and that was my first opportunity to meet my County Board of Commissioners face-to-face as a public employee, it was incredibly uncomfortable. It was something I would not wish to repeat. But at the same time, it's something that I felt needed to be said. Definitely something that I felt the public had a right to know, something that the County Board of Commissioners definitely should know, because I wanted to identify the problems and then take steps to correct them and move in the right direction.
You don't regret then doing that, going through that process?
No, absolutely not. Okay. It's something, unfortunately, that I think had to be done.
It's been an ongoing one now for several months, mm-hmm. and you want to address one of the candidates that was talking about your position, that whether or not, if you're not capable of doing the position, then you should be terminated from the position.
Yeah, so it was brought to my attention that Kelly Van Genhoven had, you know, sent an email, and this came up during the county board meeting, the last county board meeting. Commissioner Robert Peterson had read an email that was sent to some of the other commissioners from Ms. Van Genhoven stating that if I cannot do my job, then I should be terminated. And, you know, well, I agree that all public servants and representatives, elected officials and appointed officials, certainly anyone should be held accountable for their actions. But, you know, I think what's more important here is the performing a review of a person's performance, right? Because, and the reason I bring this up and the reason I feel it's so important is the prior manager, Ms. Newman, was overwhelmed. And those are not my words. Those are hers, and those are the words of some of the commissioners that have been interviewed. That, like I said, Commissioner View mentioned she was overwhelmed. She cited wanting to quit because of physical and mental health concerns. So it's obvious that she was in distress. And my question is, why was she operating for so long on her own at the airport? I understand that she had the ability, or she was offered the opportunity to interview some individuals for an assistant manager position, but that she never made a selection. And I'll tell you firsthand, this is not a job that anyone can do by themselves, regardless of their experience or their capabilities.
Do you feel you're qualified for this position?
I do feel I'm qualified for this position. As I mentioned before, I think a lot of my skills and I think a lot of my experience are highly transferable to this position. I admitted on my cover letter for the position when I applied to it that I wasn't an ideal first choice for the position, but I applied to the position because I knew the county was having difficulty finding someone to fill those shoes. But to arbitrarily just come out and say that a manager should be fired if they can't do their job, because, and the issue I took with the statement again is because I believe the Ms. Van Genhoven brought that about because she said that I was hiring a part-time clerk. Mm-hmm. I had solicited the county board to hire a part-time clerk. And I'm not trying to shirk my duties or responsibilities. I'm not trying to hand my authority or responsibilities off to a part-time clerk. It's just that we are, in fact, so behind with so much paperwork, so many bookkeeping issues, so many accounting issues, so many compliance issues, which we recently solved, that, you know, we need help doing some of those more routine tasks, scanning and filing documents. And every hour or every minute that I'm there filing and scanning documents is time that I'm not spending taking care of more elaborate, complex, and long-term issues that I need to address as the airport manager. So it's not that as if I'm trying to hand off my duties to someone else. We just need to spread the work around a little bit to make things a little more effective.
You feel that there still are a number of situations that need to be dealt with.
Yes. Chief, I have a few major concerns. Chief among them are accounting and bookkeeping irregularities and financial issues that just having gone through the records and looking at them, I mean, they extend back months and in some cases even years. There are certain accounts that we operate with at the airport that by virtue of the fact we did not have, again, we didn't have the benefit of doing a face-to-face changeover with the former manager, we lost administrative control and oversight of some of those accounts. We didn't have usernames and passwords. The former manager, to her credit, she did provide some passwords and usernames to some things, but there's some things that we were still locked out of today that we're trying to regain access to. And this has put us behind in a reporting process that, you know, is integral to the auditing process. So there's a lot of challenges we face there. There's also material concerns. There's a lot of aging equipment at the airport that federal grant dollars will not pay for, that, you know, we need to find some funding to replace these aging items like fuel trucks and groundskeeping equipment, things of that nature. And then, as far as staffing is concerned, we are understaffed. The staffing levels that the airport has had for the past several years are not adequate, either in the administrative office or especially in the operations department. We need additional trained personnel to keep being able to provide the level of service that we're both providing right now.
That can be said also for the courthouse, the sheriff's department, and other areas of the county, veterans count.
Yeah, and I certainly would not disparage or downplay the importance of any of those county departments. I mean, as a member of the county, I fully appreciate and understand how important the sheriff's department are, the county courthouse. They would, the county cannot function without them. The distinction and difference I would offer is that our airport is it offers regional air carrier service. The airport is under the domain of the FAA under the Great Lakes region. It is a regional asset that offers regional service, and it requires regional support.
Do you feel you have the support of the county?
I feel that the County Board of Commissioners and the Airport Advisory Board have both expressed their support for the airport, and I feel that the various employees and the coworkers I've worked with so far have been nothing but supportive. So, yes, I think we are all working towards the goal of, you know, trying to make sure that the airport operates efficiently as possible. The collective challenge for all of us is trying to marshal and best direct our resources to make that happen. Because as you mentioned, we have a finite amount of resources and there are other important departments throughout the county.
Is there anything else you want to address with these issues?
No, I'll just say that, unfortunately, the airports and myself, we've been kind of drawn to the center of these different political issues that are going on right now, which is something that we obviously wanted to avoid. Assistant Manager Morse and I we're very head down type of people. We just want to get our work done and we want to make sure that the airport is operating smoothly. And although it's been a lot of negative news lately, I'm very optimistic and hopeful for the future of the airport. There's a lot of great things that are going on every day at the airport. We recently received a lot of very important equipment through federal grants that are going to help us keep the airport open through winter seasons, if and when it decides to start snowing again. We're currently negotiating and working through a building expansion project that's funded by federal dollars, which is going to be very helpful to us. Our runways and taxiways, most of them have been recently resurfaced and refurbished, so they're really good condition. So there's a lot of good things. We're going the right direction on a lot of fronts. There's just still quite a bit of work ahead.
I didn't ask how old you were, but being retired from the military, you seem like a pretty young guy still.
I am 46.
Is this a new career for you?
Yeah, well, it's I guess you would say it's a third career. My first career course was in the Marines. Then more recently, I was a licensed educator. I still have teaching licenses for the state of Texas and Michigan. And now I'm the airport manager, so I guess this will be number three.
Do you see this being a position for a while?
Yes, absolutely. One of the challenges the airports face is a high frequency of turnovers in the management position, and that leads to continuity issues because as one manager leaves and another one enters, they don't always have the benefit of doing that changeover, and a lot of skills, procedures, and things of that nature are lost. And that causes some confusion and disarray, which we saw manifest itself most recently during this last inspection.
This is certainly different than teaching. Is it something that you like to do?
It is different than teaching because typically when I was teaching, there were not many people interested in what I had to say. You practically have to lock the kids in the classroom and kind of you have to try really hard to get them interested in what you have to say. But on this side of the house, it seems like everyone, at least recently, has been interested in my thoughts.
Well, I understand that you also have ideas that the airport can expand in areas, especially with youth.
Yes. Because teaching and education are something that's very near and dear to my heart. There's a lot of strategic visions we have for the airport. And, you know, we're in the process of putting these on paper right now. But after having held a meeting with our general aviation community, our private pilots and our tenants, who suggested a volume of tremendous ideas, we'd like to get businesses back at the airport because what really helps an airport thrive, and this is something that's less visible to most of the public, I think, is the general aviation community and something called FBOs or fixed base operators. The airport used to host an active flight school, maintenance repair activity, things of that nature. And I'd like to get back to that point. And I also would think that if we could somehow partner, and I haven't approached these institutions yet, but if we could somehow partner, for instance, with Bay College or NMU, and we could possibly start an airframes and power plants program or an avionics electronics technician program or partner with a flight school and enter some sort of STEM initiative with these educational institutions, I think everyone can benefit from that. That'd be fantastic.
I certainly appreciate your extended time with us here talking about what you've been going through at the airport. Robert Ranstadler is the airport manager in Delta County. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.